Amen. Amen. Let us all say amen. My, my, my. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you see, that's the kind of singing that will chase the devil out of the house. Amen. Amen. And that's why, you know, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all of those things are important, brothers and sisters. And I know this, church, that you need to always keep a song in your heart. Amen. Amen. Because when you know and understand that we're going to a land where saints never die. My, my, my. We're going to sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah by and by. And that's why we're here tonight. Because those of us who are children of God have the hope of one day going home. Because we know and understand that this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. And the purpose of this gospel meeting or these series of gospel meetings is to invite everybody we can to come and go with us because we will do you good. Not because we are so good, but because of the God we serve is so good. And we thank him for his grace and for his mercy. And we thank him for blessing us with this splendid opportunity to come together tonight in his house on his day for the express purpose of glorifying and magnifying his high in holy name. Someone may say, well, preacher, how can you call Thursday his day? Well, you must know and understand that the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is a Lord's day. Every day is a Lord's day. But we know that Sunday is the Lord's day. Am I right about it? Because that's the day that Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hand. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here tonight at the Hart Street Church of Christ. To those who are visiting with us and do not share in our religious convictions, we want you to know that you are a very special and honored guest. And please do not let this be your last time coming to be with this wonderful congregation, the Hart Street Church of Christ, the church where everybody is somebody and God is everything. And we want to thank also our sister congregations. I see a number of them who are represented here on this evening, and a congregation that's been very impressive to me throughout this week, in addition to Hart Street and Schrader Lane and others, is of course the Jackson Street congregation. And I'm just going to ask them to stand one more time. Don't want to intend to embarrass them, but I tell you, they've showed up. Amen. Good numbers. Amen. 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 I see. All right. I believe two of the elders there, and I believe a deacon back there, and just other faithful members. Good to have all of you here on this evening. And it's good to have the gospel preachers who are here tonight as well. I'm going to ask all of them to stand. Good to have Brother Crowder, who led us in prayer. Amen. Brother Carney, who's back there. Amen. There may be some others. Good to have all of you present on tonight. My wife and I have had a wonderful time here in Nashville, Tennessee. I just tell you that this is such a wonderful and cordial, hospitable congregation. We appreciate the elders and their wives, the minister, and all of the hospitality shown to us this week. We've certainly had a wonderful, wonderful time. I commend Brother Prowl as well as Brother Mason for a job well done in leading our song service tonight. Amen. What a blessing indeed. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's open them up to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, and let's go into, if you will, Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. And we'll go right into the lesson for this evening. Won't keep you long. Just want to offer a word of encouragement to you on tonight. Acts chapter 3, let's begin with verse number 1, and let's end tonight with verse number 6. And hopefully we can pull it up there on the screen so you can follow along. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, we have the New King James Version. Some of you may have the King James, and that's fine. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It reads slightly differently, however, the message is the same. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If you have it, please let me know by saying amen. Amen. And the Word of God reads as follows. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. In Jewish chronology, the ninth hour would have been 3 in the afternoon. Verse number 2, a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. Verse number 4, but Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." Verse number 5, and he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Acts chapter 3, verses number 1 through 6. And for just a short time tonight, consider with me the subject, if you will, some things money can't buy. Some things money can't buy. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her this? There are some things that money can't buy. Some things money can't buy. In the late 1980s, Charles Stewart, a businessman in Massachusetts, shot to death his pregnant wife, Carol, and blamed it on a black gunman. For a few days, the community of Boston was distraught that someone would murder a pregnant woman and her unborn child. Later on, however, Mr. Stewart's body was found in a river. He had drowned himself, but before that, he left behind a suicide note. Private investigators discovered that Mr. Stewart had shot and killed his own pregnant wife because his wife's insurance policy would have made him a rich man. This tragic episode was dramatized in a movie called Good Night, Sweet Wife, one of the saddest movies I ever saw. The point I'm trying to get at tonight, church, is that some people will do anything for money. That's why Paul counseled the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse number 6. And I really like this passage here because as a preacher myself, I try to keep this in mind, and I think it's not only relevant for the preacher, but it ought to be relevant and meaningful for every Christian. Learn how to keep money and material things in perspective. Nothing wrong with having money. Just make sure you control your money. Don't let your money control you. Am I right about it? That's why Paul could say in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6, if you can follow me very quickly, the Bible says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is what? Certain that we can carry nothing out. Oh, my brothers and sisters, nothing wrong with driving nice cars. Nothing wrong with driving nice trucks. Brothers, I know we like our trucks and all of those good things, but remember, at the end of the day, you won't be able to carry those things with you beyond the grave. And that's why he says in verse number 8, therefore, having what? Food and raiment, let us be what? There with content. In other words, if you have food on your table, you have clothes on your back, and you have a roof over your head, you ought to be able to declare and testify tonight, thank you, Lordy. I may not have everything that I want, but I thank you, Lord, that I have what? Everything that I need. And then he says in verse number 9, can you pick up the reading there, Brother Jones? He said, but he uses a contrast here. But those who want to get rich, come on,
fall into temptation
and a snare, come on,
and into many foolish and harmful desires,
and hurtful or harmful lust, read on,
which plunge men into ruin and destruction.
I believe the King James says in perdition and destruction. All right, then he says in verse number 10, for what?
For the love of money.
Now, don't misread that scripture now. The Bible does not say having money is wrong. We all need money. If you like money tonight, can you wave your hands at me if you like money? Amen. I thought if you could use just a piece of money tonight, can you wave your hand? Just a piece of money. Oh, yeah, I thought so. The Bible doesn't say that having money is wrong. It doesn't say for having money is sin, but it says for the love of money, come on,
is a root of all sorts of evil.
Come on.
And some by lusting for it.
Have wandered away from the faith.
Some folk have pierced themselves with many griefs.
Some folk have quit the church. Some folk have abandoned the truth because of their love for money. And then I like what he says in verse number 11. I love this. He said, but what?
But flee from these things.
You man of God. Don't you know one of the highest compliments you can bestow upon a preacher, it's not reverend. Amen. It's not doctor. Nothing wrong with that. It's not father. But one of the highest compliments you can bestow on a preacher is to regard him as what?
As a man of God.
Because when you're God's man, that means you walk with God, you talk with God, you belong to God, and that means that God is going to take care of you. Is that all right? He said, but you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after what?
Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness.
Fight the good fight of faith, and so that you may lay hold unto eternal life. I'm just trying to get you to see, trying to set the background for you, that Paul was teaching that young preacher, and he's teaching you and me tonight that there are some things that money cannot buy. Let's walk through the text again. If you could flash Acts chapter 3 up on the screen, let's walk through it point by point. And Brother Jones, if you don't mind doing the reading for me tonight, I appreciate it. All right, in Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1, and then I'm going to share with you the principles that we can extract from this text. All right, in Acts 3, beginning with verse 1, come on, what does the book say?
Now Peter and John were going up to the temple.
All right,
at the ninth hour.
All right, now I like how the king.
Prayer.
All right, now hold it right there. That's important to me because Peter and John, I believe I told you the other night that all of us need a friend, don't we? Naomi had Ruth, Moses had Joshua, and Elijah had Elisha. We all need a friend. And so here we see John and Peter collaborating, if you will. And it says here that now Peter and John went up how? Together.
Temple,
I like
together.
That word together because, you know, brothers and sisters, we need to make sure we hold on to that word together. Turn to your neighbor and say, together. Oh, it's important that God's people stick together. We got to learn how to pray together so that we can what? stay together. Somebody ought to say amen. Why is that important? In Psalm 133 in verse number 1, the Bible said, behold how good and how what pleasant it is for men and brethren to do what? To dwell together in unity. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 18 and verse number 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am what? In the midst. It's important that brothers and sisters in Christ work together. Am I right about it? Pray together so that we can stand against that cruel, wicked devil together. Am I right about it? Because we're stronger together than we are by ourselves. And so the Bible says here that now Peter and John went up together at the temple, to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They didn't go there to play. They went there to pray. Amen. This was a Jewish custom. According to Psalm 55 and verse number 17, the psalmist said, morning, noon, and evening will I pray and cry out to you. That's why Daniel 6 and verse 10 says that when Daniel prayed, he turned his face toward Jerusalem and he prayed how often? Three times a day. And I believe that this should not just be a Jewish custom, but it ought to be a Christian practice as well. For the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 8, Paul told the young preacher Timothy, I will therefore that men do what? Pray everywhere, lifting up what? Holy hands without what? Wrath and doubting. Oh, nothing wrong with lifting up your hands. Just make sure your hands are clean. Is that all right? I'm not talking about having washed your hands in Dial soap. Holy hands refers to a clean life. Can you say amen tonight? That's why Paul could go on to say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray how? Without ceasing. In everything, do what? Give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me just say, brothers and sisters, it's not really difficult to stay in a prayerful state of mind. You know why? Because prayer is not always about asking God, bless me, bless me, bless me, help me, help me, help me, give me, give me, give me. Don't you know that sometimes the best prayer is just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for clothing me in my right mind. Thank you, Lord, for my health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord, for my husband. Thank you, Lord, for my children. Thank you, Lord, even for my enemies, because my enemies remind me and teach me to stay on my knees. Oh, y'all don't hear me tonight. So here we see here tonight that Peter and John, the Bible said, went up to pray. And then check this out in verse number 2. If you're there at church, let me know by saying amen. All right, come on, Brother Jones. What does the book say?
And a certain man, lame from his mother's
lame
womb,
from his mother's womb,
was carried,
whom
they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple.
All right, so here we see an interesting situation. When en route to the temple, Peter and John met a 40-year-old crippled man. All right, how do you know he was 40 years old, Brother Robinson? Flip over to chapter 4 in verse number 22. Acts chapter 4, rather, in verse number 22. Look at it. What does the book say? It says, come on.
For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle had been performed.
So here he was, some 40 years, having been carried, because he could not walk. He was born in that condition. In fact, here we see a paradox, if you will. Here was a man at a beautiful place, but yet he had an ugly problem. You see it there? He had an ugly problem, but he was at a beautiful place. And you know, let me just say here tonight, you might be present and you may have some kind of, not necessarily a physical malady, but you might have a spiritual malady. You need to know and understand that even if you have an ugly problem, you're in a beautiful place tonight. Because when you come to the church, don't you know that you are at a place where God can make a difference in your life? I don't care what kind of problem you have, what kind of pain or perplexity you're in tonight, there is no problem too big for my God to solve. If you believe it, it's all right to say amen. Oh, look at it here with me, if you will. Let's read on verse number 3, if you will. Come on, my brother.
Who seeing Peter and John about to go into
the temple,
asked for alms.
He began to ask for alms, all right?
And fixing his eyes on him with John,
Peter said,
look at us.
Look at us. You see what's happening here? When this disabled man saw Peter and John, he was hoping to get something from them. Something like silver and gold. How do you know? Because verse number 5, what does the book say?
So he gave them his attention.
Uh-huh.
Expecting to receive something from them.
All right. Now, let me show you something, church. This man did not receive what he wanted. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Peter did not give him what he wanted. Instead, he gave him what he needed. Are y'all with me tonight? Look at verse number six. Come on, my brother. What does the book say?
Peter said, silver and gold. I do not have.
Now, doesn't that remind you of most Church of Christ preachers? Help me, somebody. They have no silver and gold. Help me, somebody. All right, but what did he say? Come on.
But what I do have. I give you.
Come on, my brother.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
what did he say?
Rise up and walk.
How many believe that God is in the blessing business?
Amen.
You see, God doesn't always give us what we want, but he does give us what we need. And I'm so glad, because God knows what we need better than we do ourselves. Sometimes we think we need more money, but what we might need is more wisdom to handle better the money we already have. Sometimes we think we need a bigger house, but what we might need is contentment to enjoy the house we already have. Preach on, Brother Rob. Y'all don't have to say amen. Sometimes you might think you need a new spouse. Help me, somebody. No. Sometimes it's better to work with that dude you already have. Help me, somebody, because some folk can jump out of the skillet into the frying pan. You see, sometimes we think we need bigger and better things. What I'm trying to show you tonight, what we might need is better health to enjoy the blessings we already have. Don't you see, there are some things that money cannot buy. And I want to share with you those three things that emerge from this text, and then the lesson will be yours on tonight. The first thing that money cannot buy, that we learn from this text, is that money cannot buy health. Are y'all with me tonight? Money cannot buy health. Amen. You see, this man, what he really needed was his health. Look at verse number seven. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, come on. What does the book Bible say?
And he took him by the right hand.
And he took him by what?
The right hand.
And what did he do?
And lifted him up.
Oh, I'll hold it right there. There's a whole sermon just in those words. And he lifted him up. Brothers and sisters, the only time we ought to be looking down at folk is when we're reaching down to what? Lift them up. I've come to remind us tonight that members of the Church of Christ are not in the tearing down business. We're not in the kicking down business. Instead, we ought to be in what? In the lifting up business. Why, Brother Robinson? Because we want to do for others what Jesus has done for us. That's why we can sing tonight, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was what? Sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my what? Despairing cry. And from the waters he what? He lifted me. Now safe am I." That's why I want to lift other folk up, because I want to do for other people what Jesus has done for me. That's what the church ought to be on. Is that all right tonight? The Bible says he took him by the right hand, and he did what? He
lifted him up.
And what happened? Come on, my brother.
And immediately.
And a short time later, over a period of time,
immediately,
he went home and took some aspirin. Let me show you something. Here's where I'm going with this. These so-called faith healers, those dudes are fake. Quit sending your hard-earned money to these folk who are promising you that they're going to send you a handkerchief and you can wipe that handkerchief all over you and you'll feel better. They are lying. When you read the miracles in the Bible, you will always discover that when Jesus and his apostles healed folk, they were always healed when? Immediately. Oh, brothers and sisters, I wish that folk would just read the Bible. But just read the Bible and read it for themselves. The Bible said that he lifted them up and immediately what happened?
His feet and ankle bones received strength.
His feet and his ankle bones were what?
Received strength.
Received strength. What this man really needed was his health. Because if Peter had given him money, silver and gold today, guess what? He would have still been begging tomorrow. Someone has put it this way, it's better to be poor and have your health than to be rich and have no health. What's the use of having $1 million but you can't enjoy it? What good is it to have a new car but you can't drive it? What use is it to have a new wardrobe and you can't wear the clothes because you have a terminal illness? And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you might not have a lot of silver and gold. You might not have a lot of stocks and bonds. You might not have the financial clout of Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, but I'm here to tell you tonight, you ought to praise God if you have a mouth and you can talk. You have eyes and you can see. You have ears that can hear. Do y'all hear me tonight? You have the activity of your limbs. You ought to be able to say, thank you, Lord. I may not have all the money I want or need, but I thank you, Lord, that I have my health and strength. Amen. Is that all right tonight? I'm telling you, there's some things that money cannot buy. Yes, wealth is good, but I'm trying to tell you that health is even gooder. Is that all right? That's not good grammar, but it's good communication. Yes, yeah, wealth is good, but health is even better. Sometimes we give money to people standing on the street corners and sitting on the street corners. And I've seen a lot of that here since I've been here this week. And you know what? It's not just here. It's not just here in Nashville. It's in Dallas and Terrell, all over, man. And I'll tell you something else. As times get rough, man, you're going to see more and more of that. But here's what I've discovered, brothers and sisters. It's not always. There's nothing wrong with giving those people money. But what I've learned is that what those people really need often is their health. Not just their physical health, but sometimes they need their emotional health, their mental health, their intellectual health. Because some of those folk standing on the street corners at one time, they were professionals. But something happened in their lives, something traumatic that brought them down to rock bottom. What they need is to get their minds together. And that's why I contend tonight the most important health of all is not necessarily the physical, mental, or emotional health, or even intellectual health. The most important health of all is your spiritual health. That's why Jesus could say in John 15, in verse number 5, you can help me quote it, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth what? Much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Paul put it this way, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. He said, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things have what? Passed away. And behold, some things, most things, no, all things have become new. The Lord can fix you, man. He can fix you spiritually. And if you are in need of your spiritual health tonight, you're sick and you can't get well, I'm here to tell you, I know somebody. I know somebody who can make a difference in your life. So the first thing here, church, is that health. Health is something that money cannot buy. The second thing here, look at verse 8. The second thing is, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, if you're there, Brother Jones, what does the book say?
So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping and praising God.
Woo! Is that in your Bible? Read that one more time, Brother Jones.
So he, leaping up,
stood
and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God.
My goodness gracious. Brother Darwin, I submit to you tonight that that dude would have been thrown out of a lot of churches of Christ in our brotherhood. Help me, somebody. But here's what you got to know and understand. This man for 40 years had never walked in his life. And when Peter lifted him up, can you imagine him trying to test out his, do y'all hear what I'm saying? Trying to test out his legs. And man, the Bible said, read those last, that last, those last three words. He was what? He was
walking.
Walking.
Leaping.
Leaping.
And praising and God.
Praising. A lot of folk will have a problem with that. Say, you don't do that in my church. First of all, it ain't your church. And second of all, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how long I've been in this condition, man. And God has brought me from nowhere to somewhere. My goodness, man. There ought to be a place for joy.
Yes.
And excitement in the church of Christ. No, misunderstand. I'm not saying jump off the lights and all that kind of stuff. I'm not advocating that. But let me tell you something. If we can get excited over some of this stuff out there in the world, help me, somebody. There ought to be a place for some joy in the church. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. This brother was singing this song. Did I sing hallelujah? You can't sing that song. Hey, hallelujah. Sing. You can't do that, man. Don't you know where we're going? To a place where we'll never die. Is that all right tonight, church?
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't misunderstand. I know you can overdo anything. In fact, you can overeat. Help me, somebody. You can watch too much TV.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Yeah, I know we can get too excited in the church. I remember Brother Evans was sharing with us one time that you know, his preaching, you know, and during his preaching, the folk in the over there in the crowd, they were getting so excited and saying amen. He had to tell them, hey, hold it down, because there are some unbelievers in this audience who need to hear this message. And I want to make sure so he was just saying, nothing wrong with the excitement, but make sure that you don't interfere with someone hearing and obeying the word of God. So yeah, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you ought to overdo it, but I'm trying to show you, man. There's a song that we sing. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. I love him. Don't y'all love him tonight, church?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all looking at me funny tonight. Let me move on away from here. Amen. But I know I'm right about it. I know. So the second point tonight, the second thing that money cannot buy is happiness. Happiness. Money cannot buy happiness. Let me illustrate this for you, if you will. True story. You ever get a chance, pull up the name, Google the name Buddy Post. Buddy Post. This is an article, man, I stumbled across some years ago. And to me, you know what the Bible says, in fact, I believe it's Karl Barth, the famous Swiss theologian. He said that a good preacher will have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Because what you see, man, is that this is a reminder that this book here is real. Are y'all with me, church? But when you read the Bible and you know the Bible, and you pick up the newspaper and say, that's what God said. But when you go down a certain path, God said this is what's going to happen to you. Man by the name of Buddy Post, circus. He earned $150 a week. $150 a week. But in 1988, Buddy won the Pennsylvania lottery worth $16.2 million. You hear that? From $150 a week to $16.2 million. But Buddy learned that there are some things money can't buy.
Yes.
Here's what happened to Buddy. Buddy went through a couple of divorces. Turn to your neighbor and say, learn from Buddy.
Learn from Buddy.
Buddy's own brother sued him, and some of his relatives tried to kill him. Buddy Buddy later confessed, and here's a quote, "Before I won the lottery, I had peace, I had contentment, and I had no worries. But now I have nothing but worries and trouble. I'm going back to the circus." End of quote. Do y'all hear that, church? Before he hit the lottery, he said, "I had happiness, I had peace, I had contentment, and I had no worries. But when I hit the 16.2 million, I had nothing but trouble." You have a lot of church folk with this mentality. "Man, if I could just hit the lottery, if I could just hit the lottery, Brother Robinson, all my troubles are over." Let me tell you something. Your trouble's just beginning. Right. Yeah, in fact, let me tell you something. If you hit the lottery, you better not tell anybody. Help me, somebody. A man in Dallas hit the lottery and his wife killed him, poisoned him. Help me, somebody. Y'all don't hear me tonight. I'm trying to get you to see, man, that there's some things that money can buy.
Right.
Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, if I could just help you to see this. Buddy learned a valuable lesson. And we got to learn that lesson as well, church. I'm going to put some book on it. Y'all looking at me mighty strange out there. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Follow me now, because I want to show you what the Word of God has to say. Did you not know that the Bible is an outstanding, awesome textbook on the subject of money? Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 12. Look at it with me. Can we? All right. Let's follow me. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 12. And Brother Jones, I don't want to put all the pressure on you if you need some help. We got these good brothers here to help you if you need it. Ecclesiastes 5 and 12. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. Brother Jones, what does the book say? Come on.
"The sleep of a laboring man."
The sleep of a what kind of man?
Of a laboring man.
That means a working man. Come on. "Is sweet or pleasant." Come on.
"Whether he eats little or much."
Uh-huh. Now, how many of y'all like sweet sleep?
Yes,
amen. When you work hard during the day, some of y'all know about some sweet sleep. Now, a lot of y'all retired dudes, and so y'all ain't messing with y'all tonight. But those of us who are still punching in that clock, there's nothing like that sweet sleep. But look at the next part. Come on.
"Whether he eats little or much."
Little or much. Read on.
"But the abundance of the rich..."
Uh-huh. "But the what?"
The abundance of the rich, uh-huh, will not permit him to sleep.
You mean to tell me you can be a millionaire and not be able to sleep at night? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You know why? Because you're thinking about that money, how you can keep it. You're thinking about somebody not stealing it. And you're thinking about how you can get more. Are y'all with me, church? I'm trying to help you to see tonight that there's some things that money cannot buy. Flip on over to Ecclesiastes 10 in verse 19. Ecclesiastes 10 in verse number 19. I want you to see this, church. There is a word from the Lord. Ecclesiastes 10 in verse 19. If you're there, almost there, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, what does the book say? Come on.
"A feast is made for laughter."
Is made for laughter.
"And wine,
makes
merry." Makes
life merry. Read on.
But money. Answers everything.
Woo! Is that in your Bible? But money answers what?
Everything.
You got to understand that Solomon is looking at life in the book of Ecclesiastes from a secular point of view. From a materialistic point of view. In other words, if you need some new tires, what can fix that?
Money.
Come on, y'all talk back to me now.
Money.
Now, if your children need some shoes, what can fix that? Amen. If you need a new suit, what can fix that? If your wife needs to get her hair did, what can fix that? Come on now. If brothers, you need to get your Jerry curl fixed, what can fix that? Yeah, money can fix some stuff, but you got to learn how to keep it in perspective. Are y'all with me, church? Now, yes, that leads me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. Let's go. I want y'all to see this. I'm not going to keep you now, but there's a word that you got to get this. Proverbs 15 and verses 16 and 17. I want you to see it here. All right. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and 17. The book of Proverbs is a fascinating book. In fact, one of the books that I've written that churches use is on the book of Proverbs. And one of the chapters deal with money. I want to show you just a couple of things from Proverbs tonight. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. Brother Jones, what does the book say? Come on.
Better
is a little
with the fear of the Lord.
With the fear of the Lord.
Than great treasure. With trouble
and turmoil with it. That's how it reads in my translation. You hold on to y'all see it, church. Better is what is a little. Mm-hmm. You see, more is not always better. Sometimes it's better to have a little and walk with God, stay with God, and you have peace than to have great treasure. You got money in the bank, but you're always fussing over it. Verse 17, come on, my brother.
Better is a den of herbs where love is,
yes,
than a fatted calf with hatred.
Woo! Do y'all hear that? Read that one more time. Better is a
dinner of herbs where love is.
Well, oh, goodness. Hold it right there. I like that, don't y'all? Sometimes it's better to have you and your honey, and you're just starting off. You may not have a lot of money. You may not have a lot of resources to get all the kind of food you want. But he's teaching us a principle here. Sometimes it's better to have some collard greens, turnip greens,
yes, sir,
cabbage, pinto beans, black-eyed peas, help me somebody, hog maw, pig feet. Am I right about it? Sometimes it's better to have just a little of those things, poke salad and cabbage, than to have steak and potatoes every night, and you have nothing but hell in your house. I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, that there sometimes it's better to have a little where there's love, am I right about it, than to have a lot and you have nothing but strife and division and turmoil. Man, I read where, you know, Deion Sanders lived in this house. I'm talking big house in Prosper, Texas. Prosper Tech, this big house with his wife that I believe he's now divorced. And the article said that he had to live in one part of the house, and his wife was living in the other part. You got all that stuff, man, and you have no love.
Tragic, sir.
Isn't that sad? Got all that room, and you got to live in the east corner, and she's living in the west corner. God is not pleased with that. The family will not be blessed by that. Preach on, Brother Rob. I'm trying to help you to see there's some things money can't buy. Put some more book on this thing. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 in verse number 4. Proverbs 23 in verse number 4. Oh, this is the one right here. This is one right here that speaks to me. It may not speak to you, but it speaks to me. Come on. If you're there, church, Proverbs 23 and verse 4. All right. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, what does the book say? It says, all right, 23 and verse number 4. 23 and verse 4. Labor not to what? To be rich. Don't break your neck trying to what? Get rich. All right? Because y'all remember that movie? Oh, I believe it was one of the rappers. Was it 15 Cent? Y'all know who I'm talking about? Yeah, y'all, yeah. Okay, I'm trying to catch up on my music. Help me somebody. Yeah, 50 Cent. You know, they talking about, you know, get rich or what? That's the philosophy of the world. Christians don't live like that, man. That's what the Bible says. Labor not to be rich. Come on, my brother.
Because of your own understanding.
Because of your own understanding.
Cease.
Uh-huh.
No, no, learn
how to show restraint. Right. Learn how to show restraint. And you know what, brothers and sisters, how many of us are honest enough to acknowledge that sometimes we can be workaholics? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Been there, done that. But let me tell you something. Brothers and sisters, when we learn better, we need to what? Do better, man. We got to learn how to realize that you can't make all the money. Help me, somebody. Somebody else got to make some of it. Preach on, Brother Robinson. Y'all don't have to say amen. Come on, my brother. Read on.
Because of your own understanding.
Because of your own understanding. Cease. Read on.
Will you set your eyes on that which is not?
Will you set your eyes on that which is not?
For riches. Certainly make themselves wings.
Certainly make themselves what?
Wings.
Wings. Come on.
They fly away like an eagle toward heaven.
Y'all ever heard that old saying, the eagle flies on Friday? Y'all heard that before?
Yeah.
Amen. Any of you ever been paid Friday morning and your money was gone by Friday afternoon? Help me, somebody. Amen. All right. He's saying here, man, don't be so preoccupied with getting rich, because you can have it today and it can be gone tomorrow. And then he uses the analogy of an eagle. No, he doesn't say it's going to fly away like a robin bird. It's not going to fly away like a hummingbird or like a blue jay. But he said like a what?
Eagle.
You know what that means? When it's gone, it's sure enough gone. Somebody ought to say amen tonight. Amen. How many of y'all know some athletes who went from rags to riches? But now they've gone from riches to, help me, somebody.
Tragic, sir.
Man, that's why you don't put your trust in money. We all need it. We want it. Thank God for it. We use it. But realize that that's not the end of all things. It's just a means to an end, not an end in itself. Right. Are y'all with me? Here's another one for you. Proverbs 30. We're going to move on here. Proverbs 30 in verse number 7. Check this out. Man, the Bible is something else. I tell you, church, you ought to fall in love with God and his word. Is that all right? Proverbs 30 in verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 30 in verse number 7. If you're there, church, almost there, let me know by saying amen. Come on, my brother. What does the book say?
Two things. I request of you,
Lord. Read on.
Deprive me not before I die.
Now, think about it. If you had two wishes, two requests you could make before God, what would you ask? Listen to what this writer said. Two things have I requested from you, Lord. Do not deny me before I die. What are those two things? Come on.
Remove falsehood and lies far from me.
Lord, I don't want to be a liar. Help me not to be a liar. I don't want to be a liar. Why? Because the devil is the father of all liars.
Tragic.
And I don't want to be a liar, Lord, because you said in your word that all liars will have their part in what? The lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. How many of y'all believe hell is real? We don't even preach on hell anymore. But I'm here to tell you, church, hell is real. Politicians on television lying, looking people straight in the eye, lying. I'm here to tell you, someday they got to answer to God for it.
Amen.
Sometimes you got church folk lying on folk. Right. Lying to people, lying for people, and lying to themselves. That's why he said, remove falsehood and lies from me, Lord. I don't want to be a liar. Help me to be a man of integrity, a man of truth. Even if it costs me relationships, help me to stand for what is right. Is that all right tonight? And then he says something else. Come on, my brother.
Give me neither poverty nor riches.
Give me neither poverty nor riches. Lord, I don't want to be poor. Help me, somebody. And I don't want to be rich. Come on now. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
I don't want to be poor, Lord. Amen. How many of y'all want to be poor? No, man. Because when you poor, who can you help? Amen. I don't want to be poor, but I don't want to be rich either. I don't want to be like Bill Gates. I want to be like Warren Buffett. Sure, don't want to be like Donald Trump. I don't want that. Mm-mm. What does he say? Why? What does he say? Come on.
Feed me with the food allotted to me.
The NIV says, give me what? My daily bread. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. Give us this day our what?
Daily,
bread. Lord, just take care of me today. I'm not worried about Christmas, not worried about Thanksgiving. Lord, just sustain me today. Give me, feed me with food that's convenient for me, Lord. Why? What does he say? Come on.
Lest I be full and deny you.
Lord, I don't want to be rich because there's a danger in being self-sufficient. When you are self-sufficient, you have the mentality, the attitude, you're going to say what? Come on. Who?
Lest I be full and deny you.
Uh-huh.
And say, who is the Lord?
Who is the Lord? Elders call you up and say, why aren't you in church? You say, church? I don't need the church. I don't need God. I am God. That's the danger, man. That's the danger of being a financially prosperous person. Because we have a tendency to forget about God. When you have money, man, you have options. On Super Bowl Sunday, you don't have to skip church to watch the Super Bowl. You can be on the front seat watching the Super Bowl. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with money. That's why, you know, sometimes young folk, you know, have asked me, Brother Robinson, is it wrong with if a young person, you know, becomes a superstar, an outstanding musician, or an NBA, NFL? Nothing wrong with that. But you better make sure you stay close to God. Stay close to God. As a young man, Brother C.J. Miles, Sr., preaches in Kaufman, Texas. His son, C.J. Jr., plays for the Toronto Raptors. Been in the league 12 years. Went straight out of Skyline High School in Dallas to the NBA. Been there 12 years. But let me show you something. When he comes home, you know, his daddy will say, we're going to Bible class. Get up, we're going to Bible. You know what? He gets up and goes to Bible class. That's somebody who's been grounded in the Word. Do y'all hear what I'm saying, church? And, you know, but you got to make sure you are really walking with God. Woo, good God Almighty. But then there's something else he says here. Come on, my brother, read on.
Or lest I be poor and steal.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't want to be poor, Lord, because if I'm poor, I'd be tempted to steal. How many of y'all know something about Leroy? Help me, somebody. How many of y'all know something? I'm going to share with y'all. I hope y'all don't mind. Now, this might be a little too heavy for y'all, but I know in Texas at barbershop talk, barbershop talk, there's an old saying that Negroes and onions will make you cry. Help me, somebody. Help me, somebody. Oh, Lord, y'all don't hear me tonight. Amen. And you got to be from the hood to understand that, somebody. Anybody ever had something stolen from you? Amen. That's the danger in being poor, man. I don't want to be poor. Because I see that brother's shoes there, and he snatches them aside, and I'll exercise a five-finger discount. Help me, somebody. That's when you're poor.
Tragics.
Y'all don't hear me tonight. Help me, somebody. Help me. But that's why he says, come on now. He said, but when you steal, don't you know that it's wrong to steal? It's wrong to steal. Amen. And we got to remind folk of this. Amen. Even in the church. Steal CDs. In the name of Jesus, I'm taking this. It's wrong, man. If the elders say pay for it, pay for it. Preach on, brother. Y'all not ready for me tonight. Amen. What does he say? Come on, my brother. He said,
well, lest I be poor,
lest I be poor and steal,
and profane the name of my God,
and dishonor the name of my God. Do you see what I'm trying to teach you tonight, church? I'm just trying to get you to see that there are some things that money cannot buy. And that leaves me to the third and final point. I didn't mean to go this long. Let me go ahead and wrap this thing up. The third thing that money cannot buy is faith. I mentioned that on last night. Faith is one of the most precious gifts a Christian has. Peter says that our faith is more valuable than silver and gold. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. If we can get there expeditiously, I want you to see it tonight. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 7. And we'll wrap up here on tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse number 7. The Bible says there, Brother Jones, if you have it, what does the book say? Come on, my brother.
That the genuineness of your faith, being much more,
being much,
than gold that perishes.
Than gold that perishes. Y'all see that? That the trying of your faith, the proof of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which is perishable. Come on, my brother, read on.
Though it is tested,
tested by fire. Read on.
May be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Oh, don't you know, brothers and sisters, God forbid, if your house were to catch on fire, you're going to lose that beautiful, beautiful carpet. You're going to lose those beautiful clothes, God forbid. You're going to lose that beautiful television set and furniture and all that stuff. But he says here that when you have faith, you have a genuine faith, it's more precious than silver and gold. And even though it's tested by fire, you will still come out standing strong.
Yes, sir.
Don't you know that faith enables us to do the impossible? Faith enables us to see the invisible. Faith enables us to hear the inaudible, to touch the intangible, and to know the inscrutable. As I told you last night, and I'll tell you again, that faith empowers us to live a life of victory. Someone has said that faith keeps the man who keeps the faith. That's why I like the song there, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will what? Help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus and what? He will carry you through." Now, I like that third verse. It says, "To him that overcometh, God what? Giveth a crown." Then it says, "Through faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior," am I right about it? "Our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through." I'm trying to tell you tonight, there are some things that money cannot buy. Money can buy companions, but it can't buy friends. Money can buy condominiums, but it can't buy comfort. Money can buy a bed, but it can't buy sleep. Money can buy furniture, but it can't buy faith. Money can buy books, but it can't buy intelligence. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy health. Money can buy sex, but it can't buy love. Money can buy jewelry, but it can't buy joy. Money can buy pearls, but it can't buy peace. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy silver, but it can't buy salvation. Money can purchase riches, but it can't buy you righteousness. That's why I still maintain tonight, there are some things that money cannot buy. And I like how the rest of this story ends. You see, Peter grabbed that man by his right hand, and he lifted him up, and then he told him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Why didn't he say, "In the name of Buddha"? There ain't no power in that name. Why didn't he say, "In the name of Moses"? Ain't no power in that name. Why didn't he say, "In the name of John the Baptist"? Ain't no power in that name. He didn't say, "In the name of Joseph Smith, rise up and walk." Why? Because there ain't no power in that name. Am I right about it? Why didn't he say, "In the name of the prophet Muhammad, rise and walk"? You know why? There ain't no power in that name. There's only power in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, it's all right to say amen. That's why in the Church of Christ, we wear his name, because there's power in his name. There's healing in his name. There's hope in his name. Am I right about it? There's salvation in his name. There's strength in the name of Jesus. That's why we wear the name Christian, because there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's why we have on the outside of this building the Church of Christ. Why? Because that name honors the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. In one of these days, he's coming back for one church. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And you better make sure you're in that church, living soberly, righteously, and godly. Am I right about it? In this present world, because I'm here to tell you, Jesus, there's nobody who can do you like Jesus. If I had time, I'd tell you, A, he's the awesome Savior. B, he's the benevolent Savior. C, he's the compassionate Savior. D, am I right about it? He's the delivering Savior. E. He's the excellent Savior. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. F, are y'all with me tonight? He's the faithful and forgiving Savior. G, he's the great and gracious Savior. Am I right about it? H, he's the high and holy Savior. I, he's the incomparable Savior. J, he's the jealous Savior. Am I right about it? K, he's the kind Savior. L, he's the loving and lenient Savior. M, he's the merciful and mighty Savior. Can you say amen tonight? N, he's the never-ending, never-failing Savior. Y'all ought to say amen tonight. O, he's the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Savior. P, he's the powerful and perfect Savior. Am I right about it? Q, he's the quiet Savior. R, he's the righteous Savior. S, he's the stout Savior. T, he's the trustworthy Savior. U, he's the unique Savior. V, he's the victorious Savior. Am I right about it? W, he's the all-wise, way-making Savior. X, he's the X-raying Savior who can X-ray human hearts. Y, he's the yes Savior. He won't refuse anyone who confesses his name, repents of his sin, and baptizes in the name of Jesus. And Z, he's the zealous Savior who will come running for his wayward children. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, Jesus is the Savior from A to Z, and everything in between. Whatever you need Jesus to do and to be, that's what he is. Can you say amen on tonight? Oh my goodness, great. That's why we wear his name. Because we understand that everything we need is in Christ and it's in his name. Is that all right tonight? Oh, I didn't mean to get excited like that, church. But there's something about, I tell you what, there's something about that good old singing. Is that all right? That can get a person stirred up, especially a preacher of the gospel. And we ate some of that gospel bird today. And you know what that gospel bird is. Help me, somebody. Amen. We ate some on Sunday, too. And so it's just all good. And it just got me stirred up. God is a good God. Can you say amen tonight? Thank you for your attention. I pray that all of us will leave here tonight with a better understanding that there are some things money cannot buy. Can't buy health. Can't buy happiness. And money cannot buy faith. Don't you know everything you need is in Christ? Why don't you come to Christ tonight? Some of you may be pursuing the material things. You're breaking your net trying to get rich. Nothing wrong with working, but don't overwork to such an extent that you abuse your family, you abuse your own body, without understanding that Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. And some of these things, most of these things, all these things will be added to. What things, Brother Robinson? Food to eat, clothes to wear, shelter in which to live.